Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, you have reached American Health Crisis. This is your host, Paulette Young, through Blog Talk Radio. All right, we have another hot topic, and we'll be joined shortly with Selena Lindsay and others. Some people call in and they just want to listen. That's okay. If you want to be on the show or call in, maybe with a question or you may have information, call 858-769-4936. Tonight's topic, liver disease in children. Why? That used to be unheard of. Why has the Emergency Medical Service Authority of California changed the diet of preschoolers and daycare children? How does a poor diet in small children affect their learning? How much sugar are you giving your child? Should adults be role models in eating healthy? Another hot topic tonight with your host, Paulette Young, and guest Selena Lindsay. All right. There's so much talk on children nutrition, adult nutrition, to try and keep us all healthy so we can be around for a while. So what is that fatty liver disease? What is a fatty liver? It's having extra fat in your liver. They can do a CT scan and see it, or you may, when they do an X-ray, you may have an enlarged liver. And, of course, they have to do other studies to say if it's fatty liver disease. We used to only see it in heavy drinking. So if you're a heavy drinker, it puts you at risk for fatty liver disease. Alcohol can cause you to end up with too much fat in your liver. That's why you'll see a lot of alcoholics end up with liver failure, because they end up also with a fatty liver. And we have to remember that your liver is responsible for over 500 biological processes. So with that in mind, we all need our liver. That's why you see a lot of people doing this detoxification of their liver, or they put lemon in their liver, in their water, because that's supposed to have some, according to people, some benefits. Okay. So if you drink too much alcohol, you can end up with a fatty liver, which is not good. But you can get fatty liver disease and never had any alcohol. That's why they're concerned about the children, because some of them have come down with fatty liver disease and they had nobody's alcohol. So why? So, and they call that non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. They do know if you change some of your habits and lifestyle, that you stand a better chance of reversing this damage before it's too late. Some folks even listening right now, it may be already too late. Okay, you may have fat in your liver and not have an enlarged liver or damage to your liver cells. So that happens too. Sometimes people have these diseases and nobody even knows they have them. Because unless they run the right test, you won't know. It may not get worse, or it can. Sometimes it can cause problems. 1 in 4 people have fatty liver disease, according to the statistics. You may have it and don't know you have it. You can control, or you can either control it, or you can control or reverse fatty liver disease by making changes in your lifestyle. Hi, Selena. How are you?
Fabulous, fabulous.
Good, good. Glad to have you on. Tell the audience who you are and a little bit about yourself.
Good evening. I am Selena A. Lindsay, and I'm a former CPA for over 30 years. Currently, what I do is a little bit of entrepreneuring in a number of different businesses, primary business being trucking and transportation. In addition to that, I sit on a number of different boards, which are generally nonprofit, and all of them doing something in various different communities all over the United States for the better good of people and those that are indigent and cannot help themselves. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of those things at the end of the show.
Great. So your liver is responsible, as I said, for over 500 biological processes. If too much fat builds up in the liver, this will interfere with the liver function. So you have to have your liver. One of the functions of the liver is it filters out toxins out of the blood that can cause illnesses. So if that stops, that's pretty dangerous. You want to go ahead and talk a little bit? You want me to keep talking? Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I like to, first of all, jump in there and be a little facetious and then tell a little bit of a little story, because I love those things. When I was a kid, my mother used to, that was the thing for those country folks. They loved to eat liver, and they loved to get, like, chicken livers and things like that. But,
yeah, I
know,
do, too.
As they became,
cow liver, the cow.
As they became knowledgeable, I'm like, what are you doing with that dirty thing? Because basically that's what it is. It cleanses all of that nasty stuff out of your system, and it's in that liver. Now you're going to eat it. that's none too smart. And in addition to that, what our liver does, of course, as probably Paulette has told you, is most people don't know that most of your insulin in your body is not really done by the pancreas. It's the liver. So some interesting things that happen there. And the technicality is we really need to be careful about eating the liver of animals. In addition to that, people more on subject on what it is that we're talking about, one of the most interesting things I find about it is here you've got kids that are showing up with their livers and things looking like they're an alcoholic, which is the primary reason that they called it an NAFLD, which means non-alcoholic liver disease. And because it kind of looks the same, it kind of acts the same. And these kinds of problems, in terms of statistics, which as you all know, I love those things, they're saying that 3 to 10% of kids have the condition. That's shocking. 3 to 10% of kids in the United States have this condition, and this is even worse. The worst part is ethnicity, that they're saying race and what kind of race you are, that it really affects the risk of having this disease and those things that follow, insulin resistance. And the damage, which is so much similar to alcohol, and, how the liver basically looks, that it's scarred, it's inflamed. And we're talking about in a kid. This is ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous. And the cause is caused from what you're allowing them to stick in their mouth.
Right.
And
you don't realize.
Major
having an overweight is child is not good. Or the child may be diabetic, or they have high cholesterol or high triglycerides, and they're having high blood pressure. All these things will interfere with liver function.
Well, to say that this affects 38% of obese kids, that's a knockout.
That's high. That's
and
why I like that the state of California came in, Emergency Medical Service Authority came in and changed the diet of the daycares and preschools, saying what they can have and what they cannot have, because the numbers are high. I know here in California, so California is pretty strict at, someone else taking care of the kids, and they're there all day. So those daycare workers and preschools can participate in the health of that child. And so there's been major changes made within what they can feed the kids. They can no longer just give them sugary drinks. And if they have a juice, I think it's no more than 6 ounces in a day. So a lot, and not all the, they can have things, but it's got to be in proportion and more of the healthy things, more of the fruits and vegetables and no sweet stuff in between you know, for a snack in between when they're in between their meals. So, and what I like is the ones watching the kids, they expect them, the state expects them to be the role model. So they can't come in with their sloppy eating habits and do it in front of the kids. Because they do what you do, not what you say. I'm glad legislation has passed already.
Yeah, well, it is a really big ongoing problem. And first of all, you know, we hear some really embarrassing things. I was actually watching one of the talk show hosts, and he was asking a panel of about five mothers, name a food that's great for breakfast for a kid. And I about fell out of my chair. One of the mothers said a donut.
Oh, wow.
And so what occurs, yeah, so what occurs to me is we got to really educate these people on, because the real issue here is technically in almost everything that we do and almost every show that we do, it's called ignorance. They really don't know what's healthy and what's not. They have been duped into believing, you know, when you see Yum Yum Donuts, that's a great breakfast. You know, and all of the old stuff we grew up with, when they say, you know, egg, bacon, and all of this kind of stuff. And on top of that, nobody said there was a limit. And so people are stuffing their kids like, you know, they're little pigs. You know, who lets the kids sit there and eat six eggs and 20 biscuits? I mean, I had a son that was what I call an endless pit. You know, his idea of how to eat biscuits, you know, they came in a tin can, was we put 10 of them in the oven, and when they were ready, he put stack them up in a stack of five and then hit them with his fist. You know, and he'd say, Mom, I just ate two biscuits. I'm a son, that's 10 biscuits. You ain't getting no more. I mean, but people are let into this. It just eats with no limit. There's no limit on when to stop.
Right.
And this has been one of the great contributors to this problem, because there has to be limitations and things that we grew up, us older people in households. You know, first of all, we couldn't go in the refrigerator. I mean, if you went in the refrigerator, that was a cardinal sin. You know,
what's not practiced, which was practiced back in the day, they made you clean your plate. You're already full.
Mm-hmm.
So they created a problem with that. But today, if that child's full, they're full. Let them go. Don't keep stretching the stomach when it doesn't need stretching. But there was a time that was unheard of, not finishing your plate.
And then some of it, I think, comes from the parents themselves, because, you know, it was not a time of 1944 where they didn't have food and you sit in the food line. But there are a lot of what I call, you know, the little yuppie generation that grew up in, you know, food was a thing that you fought your brothers and sisters for because there wasn't a whole lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have a tendency to want to make sure that their child eats, and they don't realize that they're overdoing the job, you know,
mm-hmm.
that enough is enough, that, you know, you don't really need to put three potatoes inside of your child. And, you know, no kid needs a half a cake.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. You know, they have some, and they're right. And I don't want to point fingers at so-called races, but, you know, there are different things that I see. And you know, you go into one of those Mexican-American stores and you tell me that I'm blind because, you know, you can just about tell that they're, you know, they're pushing all of the little candies, the little cookies, and you know, it's just a constant a push of overeating.
Mm-hmm.
And generally, when you see the child, you can guarantee when you get a look at mom and dad, same problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't see as they say, you don't see olive oil with a little poodle that doesn't have any, that his ribs are showing. You know, everybody's doing the cakewalk, and they're loading up on their food. And when you look at the basket in the supermarket, you can see why, because almost there's nothing in it that's healthy. You know, how many of you have seen people pull up and they've got all those little cups of noodles in there? And they do that because they feel like they don't get enough food, so they buy a lot of that junk that they say fills them up. And it fills them up all right, and it blows them out. So they, you know, they have all these little noodles, and they think Sunny Delight is orange juice. And I'm like, have you read the bottle lately? That's not orange juice. That's orange junk. Okay.
Previous program.
It's crazy.
That, you know, the sugar should be no more than 25 grams per day for women and 37 for men. And Lord knows what you're feeding the kids. If everything that's going in their mouth has high sugar content, you're going to end up with a problem, obesity, and that leads to fatty liver disease. If you're just joining in for the first time, I'm your host, Paulette Young, and guest Selena Lindsay. If you wish to call in and voice your opinion or ask a question, call 858-769-4936 and press 1, and then you'll be on the air around the world where people are listening to the broadcast. Okay, and this is American Health Crisis, and we're talking about liver disease in children and in people general. If you're overweight or obese, diabetic, high cholesterol, triglycerides, high blood pressure, hepatitis C, liver infections, certain medications even, like steroids, all these things, certain drugs, or you have cancer, or you can end up with heart problems, all from not doing the right thing. And this, all these things can happen to children. The numbers are in. It's happening to kids. So someone is should be responsible for a child's diet, not the child. So, and the numbers for this fatty liver disease is high in middle-aged people, but it's also in kids, which is really sad. Some don't realize if you drink a lot or have more than one drink, and I'm not talking about Kool-Aid or milk, I'm talking about alcohol. Like for women, they said if they have more than one a day, and men, they said more than two, you can end up with liver failure or fatty liver disease or liver cancer. So how do you know you have these things? You may show no signs and symptoms. You may have pain or pressure in the middle or right side of your belly. You may feel tired, loss of appetite, loss of weight. These are symptoms for many other things. So you have to go see a doctor, tell them what you're feeling, and they have to run the right test to know what's wrong with you. A lot of times they'll do a CT scan or they'll do a biopsy because the blood test itself may show nothing. They may do an X-ray to see if you have an enlarged liver and then do further testing. So these are some of the things. Some of the things you have to change your lifestyle. Lose the weight. They said obesity is the main cause of the non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. As Selena had already said, the NAFLD. And this is what we see in children. Children ain't drinking nobody's alcohol, but they're eating, and they may have poor eating habits that's caused by parents or whoever's taking care of them, and lacks exercise. We got all these technologies, these devices. So you put that kid out and let them run and ride a bike or skate. They need the exercise. So changing eating habits and exercising, you can sense the disease may go away if it's not too late. It's getting that fat off of the liver before it starts scarring the liver. Some things aren't reversible because if it stays there long enough, then, yeah, you're going to have a problem. So they're telling us we should walk with a brisk walk for like 150 minutes a week. So do the math, how many days, 7 days in a week. That'll tell you how much walking you need to do per day or within a week to get rid of some of the fat in your liver, because that's going to help you with your, you know, daily exercise, which is much needed. Say you have fatty liver disease. You've already been diagnosed. Okay, you can't keep drinking alcohol. You're not doing your body any good. If you're diabetic, you've got to keep your diabetes under control, because it's going to affect the liver. Or if you have high cholesterol, you've got to reduce it. So what you want to do is have veggies or vegetables, fruit, and whole grains. You just have to take over what you're doing to your body, care enough so that you can be here long enough. You don't have to live with these diseases, but you do have to change. I don't care if you get a buy a stationary bike. If you don't want to go outside, that air is good. But you got to do something. You got to move. I don't care if you just walk around in your yard or walk around in the mall, or if you like shopping, you know, you don't have to spin every time you shop. You can shop, you know, especially the kids. I don't see how people keep kids indoors. Except for when it's real hot, but it's going to cool down in the afternoon. You still got to have some play activity. They need it so bad. Because this was unheard of in my day, being raised. In fact, you didn't have a lot of obese children. But, well, we were outside. They throw you outside. Fire you out. So you don't give the parents problems when you come back in. You're too tired. We didn't sit and watch TV and videos and all that stuff. We're playing. We made up our games. We didn't have any games. You made them up. That's how you got those. We made the first scooters, those homemade scooters, before they put it on the open market to sell. We made our own. So we're very creative. And I think society needs to get back to that creativity. Plant a garden. Kids love learning how to plant things. And, you know, that preoccupies their mind, so it's not on food or snacking, the wrong snacks. There's so many healthy snacks. Celery, carrots, peanut butter and crackers. All those things are pretty healthy. And, you know, and fresh fruit, cantaloupe is so good right now, and the grapes. Got all this fresh stuff, peaches. Those are the things the kids should be eating. And if they're allergic to something, there's always something they're not allergic to. What do you have to say about that, Selena?
Absolutely. They, some kind of way, people that usually also are obese, as far as I'm concerned, they don't know what food was. I actually ran into a person that was kind of funny. They always wanted to eat chocolate ice cream. And I'm like, why don't you order some of the other flavors? And this person just looked at me. You know, they had never tasted any of the other flavors.
Oh, wow.
And I go, that is just crazy. I'm like, you're on another planet. I'm like, how you going, it's like mom used to say, how you going to say you don't like something and you've never tasted it? You know, and so you have to experiment with fruits and vegetables to find out what it is you do like and what you don't like. There are some things as a child I used to look at, such as okra. Once I saw the slime in the pot, I said, oh, no, Mom, I can't eat that. And see, Mom had tricks for you. We would mix stuff in with other stuff, you know, put that stuff in some collard greens or something, and you said, oh, this stuff is good. And she said, oh, you like that okra, huh? I said, oh, my God. Have you eaten it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I didn't like spinach either, and she would blend spinach up and put it in the chocolate cake.
Oh, wow.
You know,
that's
so
good.
Mm-hmm. And so there are lots of things that, you know, you should experiment to find out whether or not you like it or not, and if it's very good for you, then find other ways to eat it that you don't even notice that you're eating it. Because it's very good for you, and it's a lot more healthy for you than all of the stuff that we generally like. Most stuff we generally like a lot of is usually not good for us, you know. And I'd be the first one. I like Hershey chocolate. And it's not necessary. It's not necessarily good for you, you know. But you know, it's okay to have a little piece of it every now and then, and mostly then, as far apart as possible. But a lot of things too that I found out that children are generally allergic to are really things that they like. There's a very obese kid that I know, and his face is all broke out with acne and all kinds of other stuff. And his mother goes, "I'm just going out of my mind with, I don't know what it is that's causing his face to break out like this." And I go, "Have you ever thought about any food that he's eating?" And come to find out, one of the major things he was eating was chorizo and a type of it's called flan that the Mexican Americans eat, like a type of pie. And in that stuff had stuff in it that he's allergic to.
Oh, wow.
And, this kid was eating flan for breakfast. You know, that's like saying you're going to eat pie for breakfast.
Well, some kids do.
Yeah.
It doesn't do anything for them. And they're tired.
Yeah, he had all of the problems that an adult has because he couldn't go to the bathroom, so he had stomach aches. Yeah, because this stuff he's eating is not designed to come out. It's designed to stay in. And people don't understand that about certain kinds of food. You know, it doesn't have anything really nutritional in it or fibers. So when it gets in, it stays in. And that's where you get that pot gut from, because it's not coming out. And, when it does come out, it comes out smelling very, very foul because it's been there a while. So they're common sense things about some of these things, and we need to take a lot of consideration with trying to eat better, because just like our car, people take more time to put good gasoline in their car than they take to put good food in their body.
That's true.
I know people that will drive all the way to another city. They'll drive from, say, Pomona to Diamond Bar to get gas because it's 5 cents cheaper and it's much better gas.
Wow.
But they won't go one block to go in the grocery store to get fresh fruit if they see a can of peaches.
Wow.
And the only peaches they want to buy is the one that says heavy syrup. If it ain't sweet, it ain't no good.
Wow.
And that's the mentality.
Well,
absolutely.
I know for the preschools and daycares here in California, the kids they'll put out the four different food groups, the protein, vegetables, fruits, and dairy products, for them to choose at least three things from the four food groups so that their meals are more balanced. And they let them put it on their plates versus an adult putting it on, because they find kids pretty much know what they want if they're taught early enough, and they know when they're full. They're more likely to eat from the different food groups when they're fixing their own plate. And then adults are to role model. They can't come in with just anything. And for the adults to sit down with the child and eat versus, you just put the kid down and that's it. Now, I like that. That's different. And they are more likely to eat it if they are able to make a choice. But they are required to at least pick three of the four food groups and put that on their plate if they want to go back for seconds again. So we'll be studying all these kids with all these new rules and regulations, and there should be some good results. I remember at one time in the schools they had the soda machines. Those have been banned. Thank God.
Yeah, well, they had the soda machine, they had the candy machine, and you used to go to the cafeteria. The greatest thing in the world when I was a kid was buying the huge cinnamon rolls with all that icing and sugar on it, and now you can't even get one.
Well, my favorite was all those cookies, the Oreos. I don't think they do anymore.
Well, they also used to bake a huge cookie in the cafeteria for, you know, that was like a break and for lunch. You know, a big old oversized cookie that was big as your face, you know. So you don't get that stuff anymore. And thank God for all of that. And they said it was a problem why we couldn't learn. I now know why. You know, we were sugared up and sugared out.
Uh-huh. And that's where you come in with your ADHD, attention deficit, hyperactive child. It's all in the foods. No wonder they can't. Or it's so high in fat that any classes in the afternoon, forget it. The kids are falling asleep. Because if that diet is not right, they don't learn and they do fall asleep. But some of that has changed. Well, I'm told, I don't know how big the change is. For the small ones, it is a big change. Now, for your elementary, junior high, and high, I'm not sure how that's regulated. Anyway, you've been on American Health Crisis. Your host, Paulette Young, and you've been listening to Selena Lindsay. She has a wealth of information to share with you, and it's at this time in the program that I'd like for you to get a pen or a pencil and a piece of paper and jot down all this good information she has to give you. Okay, go ahead, Selena.
Okay, the first one we're going to start out with is one of the ones that I sit on the board as a director. It's called Sowing Seeds for Life. And that's basically kind of all one word. And Sowing Seeds for Life is located at 1350 Arrow Highway in La Vergne, California. And primarily what we do there, we're the second largest food bank in Southern California. And basically what we try to do is to serve those that do not have food and, you know, can't seem to provide food for themselves. So we try to do that 100% free. Not only just food, clothes, shoes. From time to time, we have things for babies, everything from car seats to strollers. It's just intermittent. If you'd like to come there to volunteer, please, by all means, call up or donate. Please call Fran Robinson at area code 909-293-7735, extension 232. Again, that number is, for Sowing Seeds for Life, 909-293-7735, extension 232. And we'll be glad to talk to you if you'd like to come and volunteer and help us out, or perhaps you have a donation. The next organization I'd like to talk about, and I always kind of laugh when I hear their name, it's called Sick and Tired of Being Sick and Tired. And God knows we all get there every now and then. But this organization is run by Kathy Braxton. And they're located at 290 East D Street in Colton, California. And on the fourth Saturday of every month, they kind of do this kind of cute. They do a little barbecue, or they hook up some little hot dogs out there, and they give them out to the poor and the homeless. And they also serve a little food. And you can reach Kathy Braxton at area code 562-313-0041. Again, that number for Kathy Braxton at Sick and Tired of Being Sick and Tired is area code 562-313-0041. The next organization we'd like to talk about is called Coley's Outreach. Coley's Outreach was primarily put together to assist with those that have been parolees or they've been locked up for whatever reason it is, to reintegrate them back into society in a positive way and to teach them a trade. So some of the interesting things that he has on board is, for instance, animal husbandry and raising, say, black Angus and pigs and things like this, and then sending them to a butcher school. You can reach Mr. Keith Coley, who is the head of that organization, at area code 909-358-7391. Again, Mr. Keith Coley at area code 909-358-7391. We also have another organization that we just kind of love. This one, because it's all about those that have given their time to our country, and very often we don't think about what's going on with their kids. So this one is a free summer camp, and it's called Camp Corral. And it is primarily designed with a priority given to a wounded, disabled, or a fallen military family. And you can view what Camp Corral is all about by going to www.campcorral.org. Again, www.campcorral.org. And they can be reached at area code 855-605-1267. There are a few more that are local, and we'll get those to you right quick. And one of those is called Bright Prospect. Bright Prospect is located at 1460 East Hope 4. They're in Pomona, California. Bright Prospect is primarily designed for low-income students. What they try to do is help get them through college and assisting them with whatever help they need, from being able to find a scholarship to getting a book to be in school. You can view what Bright Prospect is all about by going to their website, which is www.brightprospect.org. Their phone number there is area code 909-623-9007. The next organization is called Helping Hands Caring Heart Ministry. What they do in Pomona is they feed the homeless, and I mean they feed the homeless. These guys fix sandwiches. They do what they can do. And they need a big hand. And if you got something for a donation, please go and help these guys out. The phone number is 909-730-5313. At the end of every show, I always put my little two cents in, and it goes like this. I choose to speak out because silence is consent. I am a self-proclaimed change agent. Yes, I am an agitator. I choose to be provocative. Speaking out raises tough issues. Sometimes it makes other people uncomfortable. Moreover, making some people uncomfortable is who I work very hard to be. I like to take risks and use myself. I tell life stories and experiences. I share my weaknesses. I also share my mistakes. I use me as a guinea pig. I have a soul belief, and that belief is simply this: that in order to help those that can't help themselves, you got to reach out a little bit, and sometimes you got to help them tie that bootstrap. I am Selena A. Lindsay. I thank you for listening to our program tonight, and I look forward to you listening to our program again. Have a great night, and God bless.
Thank you, Selena. We'll be back on the air next Monday, same time, 8 p.m. Pacific time, with another hot topic. Thank you.